Book of John, chapter number 13. Isn't God good, though, really? You know, we have things that come, and God's grace is sufficient. Whatever it is that comes in our life, He helps us to go through it. You know, by the way, if it weren't for things and problems and all the... How would we ever really test the grace of God? How will we ever allow it to shine in our lives as He wants? So we're going to have things that hit us. Some of those things might be physical. Other things, it might be financial. Who knows? Just things that come. In some countries, and we may see it here, who knows, persecutions. We're seeing a lot of that kind of stuff today. By the way, do you know when the light shines the brightest? When it's the darkest. Have you noticed that there is really a difference in America today? You can tell the light from the dark. And there is so much that's going in the wrong direction. The contrast is there. Nowadays it's nothing for people to almost spit on you because you didn't know Christ. And I don't want to scare you, but it's going to get worse. So buck up. Amen. Get close to the Lord. And He takes us through. Chapter number 13. I want to read verses 31 to 38. God's Word's fantastic. You know that? What a great chapter this is. Chapter 13, 14, 15, and 16 are sometimes called the Olivet Discourse. It's what Jesus preached or taught, however you want to look at it, to the disciples from the upper room to the Mount of Olives. Some of it, I think, was said as they were going past the temple. And it's just a tremendous four chapters here. They go together so wondrously. To me, in many regards, four of the greatest chapters in the Word of God. I love reading these. They're inspirational to me. Every time you sit down. I must confess, I get the First Chronicles chapter 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8. I don't get real excited. Number one, I can't pronounce most of those names. I don't know any of them. Well, there's a few of them. I recognize names. But, you know, you get into there. And there's places in the Word of God. I've never figured out, why does God take so long to tell us about the tabernacle? And takes one chapter to tell us about creation. Must be something pretty significant about that tabernacle, eh? Which is a tremendous picture of Christ, by the way. Anyways, let's get here and let's read. It says, therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, by the way, speaking of Judas now, and we looked at that last week, in verse 27, he said, that thou doest do quickly. And in verse 30, it says, he then, having received the sop, went immediately out, and it was night. Therefore, when he was gone out, Jesus said, now is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. If God be glorified in him, God shall also glorify him in himself, and shall straightway glorify him. Little children, yet a little while I am with you. Ye shall seek me. And as I said unto the Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you. If my emphasis is anywhere tonight, it's the next two verses. But notice what it says. A new commandment I give unto you, that ye love one another as I have loved you, that ye also love one another. By this shall all men know that ye are my disciples, if ye have love one to another. Simon Peter said to him, Lord, whither goest thou? Jesus answered him, whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter. Peter said to him, Lord, why cannot I follow thee now? I will lay down my life for thy sake. Jesus answered him, wilt thou lay down thy life for my sake? Verily, verily, I say unto thee, the cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice. Let's keep going. Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you, I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. Wow. What great verses. Let's pray. Father, we thank you tonight for the privilege to read your word. Lord, how exciting we find these verses that are before us, this context, this great sermon. God, I pray that you just speak to our hearts tonight. Teach us. Lord, give us strength from this. Give us wisdom. And Lord, that we might walk closer with you, knowing that the days are evil, but the power of God's greater. Bless now, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. Well, Jesus has gone out to arrange his betrayal. And as he has left, the Lord is saying something very strange to me in many ways, because now, he says, is the Son of Man glorified, and God is glorified in him. He says, the course has been set. The betrayal had taken place, but now he's going to get them. He knows what's going to take place. He's going to bring the soldiers back. He knows what's going to happen. They're going to take him. He knows he's going to be put on trial. He knows that he's going to be condemned to die. And he knows he's going to the cross of Calvary. But he looks past that and says, now the Son of... I lost which one is it. The Son of Man is glorified. And God is glorified in him. Wow. And this will ultimately show forth the perfections of God. It will show forth the love of God. It will show forth the goodness of God. It will show forth the truth of God. It will show through to us the justice of God. And so he says in verse 32, if God be glorified in him, God also shall also glorify him in himself and shall straightway glorify him. And then he announces, little children, yet a little while I'm with you, and ye shall seek me. And as I said to you, Jews, whither I go, ye cannot come. So now I say unto you, he says, you can't come this way where I am going. He's going to be leaving them. And a divine truth is going to be revealed out of this moment. He will come back to this, and we'll deal with that in just a little bit. But let's notice what he says now. He says, I'm going to leave you, but now I say to you, here's something I want you to hear. And notice what he says, a new commandment I give unto you. There's something about that that strikes me, because you go back to the book of Leviticus in chapter 19, and it says, thou shalt not avenge, verse 18, nor hear any grudge against the children of thy people, but thou shalt love thy neighbor as thyself. I am the Lord. And we know that the two great commandments that are given to us in the New Testament that are a summation of the law, one is to what? Love the Lord our God with all of our heart and soul. And the other is what? To love our neighbor as ourselves. And that's going back and recapping the Old Testament law. But yet the Lord Jesus says something here. He says a new commandment. Does he not know what he's talking about? Has he forgotten? I don't believe so. I want you to notice a couple things about it. It was new because it had never before been made that by which any class of people, any body of people were known. The Jews weren't known for their love one for another. Nobody was known for that. And that's what he's saying here in one respect. Hey, these people are going to be known by those things. The Jews, they were known for their external rites. By the temple, they were known by these kinds of things. Some people are known by the way they dress, the way they carry themselves. Some were known by the armor they wore. They were known by the uniforms that they had on. And just as in our day, we are known by different kinds of outward appearances. But he says, these are going to be known by their love one for another. It was new because no group had ever been known by that badge before. But I think something else, even more important, is it's a new commandment because it's so much greater than the one before it. Let's notice the difference. When I saw this, I just, wow. This is one of these things, this is one of these times you blow the trumpet, you know, and you're getting ready, and the drums are rolling, and you're thinking, what's about to happen? In Leviticus, and when he recaps the law, he says that we are to love the neighbor how? You remember? As thyself. To love our neighbor as ourself. Now, look at this one here. That ye love one another how? What's it say? As yourself? No, no, no. Doesn't say as yourself. Or as it says here, as I have loved you. So now we are elevating this. Now think about this. What did the love of Christ cause him to do? What did it cause him to do? Did it not cause him to go to the cross of Calvary? Did it not cause him to die for us? We're not talking about a love as we love ourselves. We're talking about a love that's like the love of the Lord Jesus Christ. This is something higher than has ever been known before. This is to love like Jesus loved. And He loved by dying for us. He not only loved His neighbor as Himself, but He loved him more than Himself. In this, He calls upon His disciples to imitate Him. To basically be ready at all occasions to lay down their lives for each other. Do you realize that many of the early Christians, that was simply the thing that they knew about them? And there were some who wrote about that and said, these people are willing to die for each other. It's not to love as we love of ourselves. It's to love as Jesus loved. It's that which is the love that has the ultimate sacrifice. I remember one time I heard a preacher, and he said, you know, you need to sit down sometime. And I thought it was a great, great thought. He said, you need to sit down sometime and write down the name of the people you'd be willing to die for. You would honestly be willing to die for. He said, write them down. I never did that, but I thought about who would I be willing to die for? Not seriously. Is there people that you could think of you'd say, well, they're shooting a bullet at him, I wouldn't jump in the way. Matter of fact, I'd be running the other way. We'd be honest about that, really. But the Lord is asking us to what? Love each other with such a love that we be willing to die for each other. If I'm understanding this correctly, He says to love as He loved. He loved, the Bible says, for God so loved the world, He what, gave His only begotten Son. And you and I, if we're going to love like God did, a new commandment, wow. No system of morality ever prescribed anything so pure as this. Our Lord has outdone all the moral systems in the universe. Think about it in two short phrases. Love your enemies. Lay down your lives for each other. Be willing to do so. Wow. After seeing that, I thought, that list needs to be thrown out because it includes everybody that knows Jesus Christ, their Savior. That's the kind of love that we are to have one for another. And too many times, the so-called love we have one another is that which is too willing to kill each other. And to fight and to argue and all of those things. Wow, what a thing. He says, listen, I'm going to leave. You can't go. But here's what I want you to do. I want you to love each other the way I love. And then he comes back to the topic at hand, in a sense, in verse 36. And it's kind of remarkable to me. Simon Peter said to him, "Lord, whither goest thou?" He didn't sing about the love, did he? He had heard one thing. Wow. Yeah, that's an amazing thing. By the way, when you get done preaching a sermon or teaching a lesson, if people hear one thing and digest it, you say, "Praise God from whom all blessings flow." And because a lot of folks don't get anything. They don't intend to. But if we get one thing, that is good. But boy, if we can walk away with two things, we actually listen close enough to hear two things. But most time we don't. And so we lose so much. And what did Peter do? He was zeroed on the fact that the Lord was leaving. The disciples, though they were told often, really did not catch on to the fact that Jesus was going to die. I believe one of the proofs of the resurrection of Christ is the disciples didn't believe it was going to happen. When they say and try to say, well, they went and stole his body. They were too scared to do anything at that point, and they certainly didn't believe he was going to come back. They didn't believe he was going to die to start with. And so here we find that Simon Peter says, "Where are you going?" And he says, "Whither I go, thou canst not follow me now, but thou shalt follow me hereafter." That's prophetic, by the way. Though in verse number 36, or 30, excuse me, he says, "You're going to deny me three times." Peter says, "Wherever you're going," he says, matter of fact, in verse 37, he says, "I'll even die for you." Jesus said, "Hey, one of these days, you will go the path I'm taking." And prophetic here, he's saying, you're going to follow this. Peter, by the way, what? He died as a martyr. And tradition says that Peter, when they were going to actually crucify him, said, "You don't do that like you did my Lord. Hang me upside down." And Peter indeed did die for his faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. He had great intentions. He had sincerity. But when Peter said, "I will lay down my life for thy sake," at this point in his life, he did not have the strength to do it. He was weak. He had courage, but he needed caution to seek the power of God. Years later, he fulfilled that pledge, of course. But at this point, he did not. Brother, no matter how diligently we want to follow the Lord, we must have the power of God to do so. I read the next verses because I find this intriguing. He says in one breath, "The cock shall not crow till thou hast denied me thrice." We have a chapter break. But it's the next verse. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." The news that Jesus was going to die, the news that Peter was going to deny him, these things, I am sure, struck home somehow to Peter. And yet we find the Lord gives tremendous words of comfort and hope right off the bat. We call it a new chapter. But it's right in the same text, context. "Let not your heart be troubled. Ye believe in God, believe also in me." And he goes on to say these tremendous words. "In my Father's house are many mansions." That's intriguing to me. He calls it his house, and yet there's mansions within. I get all these pictures, Doc, in my head, and then I think, they're nowhere near what it's like. "I have not seen, nor heard." What's going to be like in glory? I don't know. All I know is, it's going to be better than I ever thought. He gives us little clues. But he says, in my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you. And if I go and prepare a place for you, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there ye may be also. And whither I go, ye know, and the way ye know. I have thought it, we've all thought it, that we're going to have our own mansion. By the way, does that say we're going to have our own mansion? It says, in my Father's house are many mansions. It really don't matter. It really don't matter. It's just fantastic what we're going to be involved with. But here's the neat part. Receive you unto myself. You know what heaven's about? It's not fishing in the river of life. It's not picking the fruit off of the trees that bear 12 manner of fruit. It's about being with Jesus. Yeah. Do you realize it's not what you do in life, it's who you do it with? Seriously. Relationships are important. Amen. Who you do it with? Wow. It's just neat. Thinking the other day, 47 years, my wife and I have traveled this earth together. 6 kids, some of them bratty. One of them not quite as bad as the others. Almost perfect grandchildren. Have I met them yet? No. Yeah. And all the things and places and what have you, but it's not near as important the places as those that you've been with. And experience it with. It's just tremendous. You know, all the years at church here and the people and to experience, you know, to walk in a church service and be with you all. And be able to share your heart with another. By the way, the neat thing about preaching, you don't get to do it as much as I do. I get to share my heart. And I love when I hear others when they share that back with me. And how you can have that privilege one with another and the fellowship and all those things that we can have. Make much of it. Sunday night I heard different ones talking about their friendships and those kinds of things. Beautiful. Amen. But what the greatest one is Christ. Now let me admonish you. Develop that now. Don't wait to heaven. Know Him now. You can do that now. And have that relationship. See, how do you have a relationship with somebody you can't see? That's why we call it faith. Because you believe He's present. And you're walking around talking to people. Say, well, is he talking to himself? No, I'm talking to God. Oh, he's reading that book again. No, God's talking to me. Boy, when you pick up the Bible, and it's more than just reading, and it's like you can almost hear the voice of God. Every day we do that, it's a little different for us. I understand, because we've got all these dumb emotions and so forth we deal with. But wow, it's neat when we stop and think about God talking to me. Well, he wrote it to everybody. I know. But when I'm reading it, he's talking to me. Yeah. Dads, if you're talking to your sons, Do you like it when they turn and walk away? Moms, when you're trying to discuss something with your daughters, do you like it if they turn and walk away? No. But we do that with God, don't we? And He wants that. Oh, how we need to listen to Him. Let His Word shine. Build that relationship. He says, I'm going to come and get you that we can be together. Glory. When did He say that? After He told Peter He's going to deny Him three times. Wow. Okay, Sarah, go ahead. Walk all over me. But when you get done, come on over. We'll have a chocolate malt together. You like chocolate malt? Well, nuts to you. I'll talk to her. It don't matter how many times she's had her ice cream. She's ready for more. Already. Aren't you? Except when she's pregnant. I'm not sure. Them things kind of come and go, don't they? Oh, well. The way it goes. Pickles and ice cream. Oh, glory. Let's go to the Lord in prayer. Father, we thank You so much for these Scriptures. Lord, what a blessing it is to look at this and see these great truths. Lord, to realize the love that we are to have one with another. And how so often so puny. God, I pray that You help us to draw close to You, that that might develop in our lives. That we would truly be willing to lay down our lives for our brethren, like our Savior did. Lord, not just say it, but it would be real. What a difference it'd make in our lives. God bless, work in our hearts now. And pray for these young ones. They come in here in a little bit, Lord, that You just bless in that time together. And we'll give You praise in Jesus' name. Amen. And amen. You're dismissed.